For those of you online, if you don't mind, let us know you're watching today and worshiping with us. We'd love to know that you're here. You can email us at office@cbclittleburn.org, and we'd just like to know that you're worshiping, that we love you, we care about you. And for those of you in the building, if you don't mind, if you forgot to pass those guest pads through the aisles, go ahead and pass them back or pass them forward. And if you happen to come in a little late, we'd love to get your information, let you know that you're here. Now, you might see that we're doing things a little bit differently today because the three of us are up here. This doesn't happen but usually but once a year. And so, yes, today we are doing something a little bit differently. But before we go there, I want to actually thank one specific person in the team for what we had last weekend. We had our missions conference last weekend. Mike Petty and the missions committee, will you guys stand up and can you give him a round of applause?
But I only saw Jennifer.
I only saw Jennifer too. I guess we wore them out. So no, they're probably doing stuff. Actually,
the missions conference made me think of something.
What's that?
It was really cool how Pastor Felix kind of paved the way for going longer, because now we have three pastors that are going to speak today.
Yeah, we are not going to go an hour and a half or anything like that. Don't worry. We're going to keep track of time, but. We do this once a year. We usually do it at the end of December or the beginning of January. We're doing a little bit late here just because of me. I couldn't get my act together. But what we do once a year, and we felt like this is great after the missions conference, is do an impact report about what God did in 2025 and where we are going in 2026. And we have something special that you probably have seen out in the foyer, or maybe there's some signs that we actually took down. We didn't take them down for any negative reasons. It was just we wanted something up that looks different. But they are called our 10 and 10 goals. What on earth are 10 and 10 goals? Well, you can get this brochure out on the information table. But basically, in 2022, the elders got together and said, hey, where does God want us to go over the next 10 years? And we developed through much prayer and talking to ministry leaders, 10 goals we want to accomplish in 10 years. So we started in 2022, and we are going to 2032. So what have we done? Well, we've created discipleship groups, which we already had some more. We wanted to create 10 to 20 more. We created what we call specialized groups. Those are groups like divorce care, restoring your heart. Now we have peer desires. One of our goals is establish an adult Sunday school academy. We want to train new Christians to be leaders. We want to find support and send out 3 new missionaries, which we did. That was a blessing. We also want to be involved in local outreach. We want to revitalize our campus. We want to be involved in expanding and focusing on corporate worship. We want to expand our youth and college age ministry and enhance our CBC kids ministry. That's all in this little pamphlet here. Those are the 10 and 10 goals. So it's nothing crazy. It's nothing that's unbiblical. It's simply what God has told us to do as followers of Jesus Christ. So today, like I said, we're going to do several things. We are going to look back at 2025, and Pastor Rob and Pastor Wilmer are going to share, look at what God did, and I'm going to share a little bit too. Then we're going to get to some scripture that's going to tie into where are we going in 2026. We're going to share with you, after much prayer and thought at the elder level and pastor level, where are we going in 2026? And hopefully this will get you encouraged and excited to see what God is doing and how you can be a part of what He's doing. Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about what did God do in 2025. And I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Rob to share.
Okay. So, you'll see on the slide up here, some various numbers, and you have this in the foyer, and I think it was also attached to the bulletin. I just want to highlight a couple of the numbers. First of all, that 796 people reached, so that's like a combination of like everybody that attended church, Good News Club, people that were in D&S groups. It's like all of that put together. That's how many people the Lord gave all of us the opportunity to impact. With the gospel, to point them to Jesus, to make disciples.
So that's not the size of our church, then?
No. Right. Yeah, no, that's not the size of our church. Or about 600 people are tardy every week. But about 300 of those people are in D groups. And so that's our discipleship groups, which means those are the groups that are focused on prayer, practice, prayer practice, fellowship, and the study of the scriptures. And so we have about 300 people involved in that. And then if you look over to the right there, there's 12 S groups currently, and about 67 people are in that, which is great. And those include the Restoring Your Heart, like Pastor Peter mentioned, Restoring Your Heart. There's different prayer groups, divorce care, and that number will soon grow with Pure Desire starting up this year.
Yeah, so if you'd like to find out more, you have this right there attached to your bulletin. Those of you online can actually go to our website. It's up there as well. If you'd like to join a D or S group and find out more what those are, there are some brochures out there at the foyer. I encourage you to join a D group. When you see these numbers up here, let me just preface. Yeah. We are not a number-seeking church. We are not trying to get these numbers inflated. We just want to use this as a metric to say, hey, look what God is doing. Yeah. Like, and you're a part of that. And some of these people who are in D groups or S group don't go to our church. Yeah. And we're okay that, because the church isn't just us, right? Yeah. The church is our other brothers and sisters around our community, too. And I'm even meeting with them, and we're praying, and we're talking about what God is doing. So that's really cool about what's happening with the adults. Wilmer, why don't you share about what happened in 2025 with the youth?
Yeah, something really cool about what you just said, too, about how like the church is like all believers. There is a sense of on average, we see for Wednesday night 35 to 40 students. And I would almost go as far as to say that half of those students do not come to church here.
Yeah.
So they're from other churches, whether their churches are really far away or they just don't have a youth group. And they just so happen to have friends in ours and have connected that way. So I think that's really cool that, again, it's not just like a, hey, come over here, it's only us here, but that it's actually whoever's around, because we are all believers in Christ. And so what we do on Wednesday nights is we engage the students through teaching. We facilitate big group discussions about the questions that they're wrestling with. We also do things like we have D groups as well. Mm-hmm. So those are gender specific and age specific. It'd be really awkward to have a senior high boy and a sixth grade girl in the same group. So obviously it's kind of a duh. We also have a student led worship, which is great. And we do study discussions and prayer requests on apps like Discord and things like that as well. And about two Mondays of the month, we have a group for the guys that are in eighth grade and above. We meet at Chick-fil-A, and we go through Navigator's discipleship material together. And there's a group of girls, too, that also a couple Saturdays a month are doing the same thing. So there's just things like that that are happening where discipleship is happening, whether it's on Wednesday nights or not on Wednesday nights. And it's just been really encouraging.
Yeah, and this ties in with our mission at Cornerstone. Our mission at Cornerstone is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ at home and abroad. And so one of the main ways you do that discipleship is getting together and being this family that talks about God, like you said, Bible study, prayer, fellowship, and practice. So if you're not in a D group or if you're a youth that's in here and you haven't been coming on Wednesday nights at 6:30 to 8:30, we encourage you to get involved so you grow in your faith. Again, we are not here to get these numbers. We are here to make disciples. And we want to see you not just be baby Christians. We want to see you become mature believers in Jesus Christ. So that's intentional, is what we're saying here as you look up on the screen there. And it's pivotal. Not only we are part of that, the elders are part of that, and there's so many ministry leaders and small group leaders that are doing it as well. That's so true. This is something to celebrate and say, praise God, that He's allowing us to have this impact in our community, and you are a part of it. Amen, church?
Amen.
All right. Just want to make sure. Okay. Don't worry. We're going to get the scripture. So the next thing we want to talk about, though, in 2025 is we actually had two goals in 2025 that we were focusing on. The first one was goal number 4 in our 10 and 10 goals. What is goal number 4? To develop 10 to 20 Christian leaders. Did we do that? No, we did not. We were not successful in accomplishing that goal. And I will take responsibility for that because it was not with lack of trying. We had 4 amazing people help us think through this, and they did their part. And it was Bob and Jan McClure, as well as Chuck and Patty. Where are they at? They're not even here today.
Oh, Bob's there.
Oh, Bob's there. Bob, thank you. Thank you. So they came up with some good curriculum, and then one of our elders, Steve, and I were talking with the other elders, and we're like, we're not focusing on this too much because we're focusing on some other things. So it fell through and didn't get completely accomplished in 2025. But we'll talk about where we're going with that in 2026. The other goal that we had was goal number 8, which is to focus and expand corporate worship. This was a 2025 goal. Did we accomplish this? Yes, we did move forward in this. How so? Well, just so you know, you can get this from us if you want, but we had 7 core principles we want to have exemplified in the music that we sing. That we are very passionate about worship being directed towards God. It is not for entertainment. It is not for us to feel good, although we can feel connected with God by music. That's the way God designed us to be, why music is important. But we have 7 core principles that we said we want to make sure our focus is always directed towards Him because He's worthy of worship. And so that was something implemented in our team. It was happening before that. It's not like this wasn't happening. We just were very intentional to make sure, why are we doing what we're doing? The other thing that we did is, you might have noticed, we changed the order of worship. That was intentional. We put the announcement at the beginning because we didn't want the flow of worship to be interrupted. Is it wrong to have announcements in the middle of the order of worship? No, you could do that, right? This is all traditions. God doesn't say it must be this order of worship when you come in church. That is not. But we're trying to be intentional. We don't want things to feel like you're on the freeway in traffic when you're worshiping God. Have you ever been that way? Where you're driving and then all of a sudden you have to slam on your brakes and you're like, oh my goodness. And then you push the fast pedal, you start, you're like, all right, traffic is moving again. And then you slam on the brakes again. We didn't want worship to feel that way. We wanted to be this flow of genuine worship from our heart towards God. From the music to the message, as well as the announcements, they all have a purpose and a place. They can be good, but we were intentional about that. We also were intentional about getting more people to be involved in our worship team. And because of how some things went, we were getting new leaders in there. And the leaders were amazing. Sarah did an amazing job, as well as the leaders before that, Matt. And then we have other ones up here that are JT and Kyle, as well as just other people who are part of the group doing things in the background. We're very intentional about like who is part of that and why we're doing what we're doing. So we want to continue to pray for that. That's going to continue to develop. Some of you might say, yeah, but you took a lot of my hymns away. That is not our intention, by the way. We understand that some of you love hymns, some of you love contemporary music. We are trying to understand we all worship God in a specific way that we prefer. We understand that. This is one of the biggest divisions in the church, can be worship. We are not intentionally trying to weed out some music and not others. God just says, worship me. How you do that looks different again, not just in America. It doesn't just look different in the churches in America, but it looks different in the different countries how Christians worship God. So there's not a right or wrong. It is a preference. And we're trying to use wisdom saying, okay, with the people we have, how do we worship? Let's be intentional about this goal. So continue to pray about that. We have other things we want to do with worship in the future, and we'll see where God takes us. So that's where we've been in 2025. We've been focusing on developing leaders. My fault, we didn't do that as well as we could. And corporate worship.
I know, right?
But you know what? It has to fall on someone, so I will die on that sword happily. You know? But we want to go in the future focused on God as well. So, where are we going in 2026? Well, to answer that question, we're going to turn to Scripture, and I'm going to tell you, well, actually, we are going to tell you a story. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Oh, can you clear that background? You can go to that first slide, slide 1 on the sermon slides, and then go back. Perfect. Awesome. Thank you. 2 Timothy, I could, of course, preach a whole sermon on this, is an amazing letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to one of the people he was discipling as a leader named Timothy. Timothy was the pastor, it looks like, at the church in Ephesus. And Paul, when he writes this, in about 64 to 67 AD, is sitting in a Roman prison going to death. How do you say that? That's not the right way to say it. He's going to die soon. This is probably his last letter that he wrote. These are his final words. And so what kind of final things would you tell a disciple that you've been living with and helping shepherd a church? What would you tell him about what's important when it comes to making disciples of Jesus Christ? Well, if you go through the entire book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, you'll see that he's talking about, hey, preaching God's word is important. And we need to understand that this needs to be happening because there are going to be false teachers in the world. And they're going to tell you things that are lies. So you need to preach the word. But you also need to understand, Timothy, that as you go out and preach the word, you are going to encounter hardship, persecution. It's not going to be easy. And you need to stand fast. Because one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and he's going to judge you by how well you led, and he's going to reward you based on that. That is not talking about salvation. We're not talking about salvation, going to the eternal kingdom, heaven, and all that stuff. He's simply saying, how have you been faithful? Have you been a faithful teacher, Timothy? And so, as we look here in chapter 4, Paul has just told Timothy how important Scripture is. Maybe you've memorized this passage before. It's 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. For all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, training, righteousness. I just messed it up. That he just said how important Scripture is. And now he goes in to 9 commands that he wants Timothy to follow. And I want you to look at this. This isn't just 9 commands that God is giving through Paul to Timothy. These are 9 commands that you could live by. And if you live by this value system in your life, you will be doing the will of God. Did you hear me there, church? If you live... What was that, Jeff?
Say it one more time.
Yeah, say it one more time. All right, those of you online. These commands that Paul gives Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, if you live by these words, I guarantee you will be living in the will of God. You will be doing exactly what God wants us to do as we live life on this earth. So let's look at that passage now. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So here we go. Paul is saying this is really important. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ. He's going to judge you by this criteria. You're a believer. You're coming into heaven. You're guaranteed. It's through faith alone, not by works. But you need to understand that when you stand before Jesus, you want to hear from him, well done, good and faithful servant. Verse 2, first command, preach the word. Second command, be ready in season and out of season. Third command, convince, or a better way to translate that would be convict people. Fourth command, rebuke. Fifth command, exhort. And do all of that with long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or myths. But you, Timothy, sixth command, be watchful in all things. Seventh command, endure affliction. Eighth command, do the work of an evangelist. Ninth command, fulfill your ministry. These commands that Paul has given Timothy, this is not casual advice of how to live your best life now, is it? This is a charge that Paul is giving to one of his disciples before he dies. He knows death is coming, and he's telling Timothy, if you want to live a life that has meaning, this is what it looks like. Why? Because a time is coming where people will not teach the truth of God's Scripture. They'll corrupt it, they will change it, they'll be liars and thieves, and you need to stand strong. So what are those 9 commands? I pointed them out, but let's go ahead and just look at them briefly. Preach the word. This is actually the word picture I want you to think of is, you know, like when we think of Middle Ages, like the herald who'd unroll a scroll and say, "Hear ye, hear ye, thus says the king." That's what it means to preach the word here, is to actually communicate the truth of God's word boldly and with authority. It's not your authority that you're preaching. You're preaching in the authority of Jesus Christ, your king. Second command, be ready at all times. It means Right? At any time, you need to be ready to do what God has called you to do. It isn't just during the easy times of your life when things are going well that God wants you to act this way. He wants you to be ready to serve Him at any point in your life, in the good times and in the bad.
Even when it's inconvenient?
Yes. Can you believe that? Yeah, you got to be prepared when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Thank you. You can interrupt more. The third command, convince. That actually, the word there means convict. And what it means is strongly expose error or sin that people have been doing in their lives. So this is a person who's a believer who's sinning. And he might not even be a believer. He could still convince a person who's not a believer of sin. But he's saying, bring their sin to light and expose it to the truth. That's one of your jobs. Fourth, rebuke. What does that mean? This is actually a word that's more of, before the person sins, come to them and help them understand what is good and how to avoid sin. Fifth command, exhort. What does that mean? It means to urge believers to obedience and faithfulness as they follow Christ. Like, live out your faith. Call them up to do this.
And I like how the passage says, with long suffering.
Yeah, because it ain't easy, is it?
Right, right. And it both for the person that's doing this, and like, if you know, when you're working with people, sometimes it just takes time.
Yes.
In fact, it always takes time.
Yeah, we are a fast food culture, aren't
right,
we?
Right, yeah.
We want Christianity to be like, you go up to the drive through and you get your McMeal, and then all of a sudden you've grown leaps and bounds in Jesus Christ, huh? It ain't how it works, folks.
Right, yeah.
Like, we have so many examples in life. A tree growing, right? Babies growing. Like, nothing happens overnight, usually.
And in fact, if we're honest, somebody had to be long-suffering towards us.
Probably. I know that's true for me. Yes.
Yeah, same.
Just ask my wife. All right. If we go on, be watchful. It means just that. You're a sentry on a wall scanning the horizon for the enemy. Be alert. There's bad people out there that want to do bad things, and they want to hurt, lie, or steal from you. And by the way, you used to be one of them, so don't think you're better than them, all right? So be watchful, especially for false doctrine, for false teaching. That's why Scripture has to ground us at all times.
Yeah. I think it's real easy to live your life in a way that's reflecting a lie that you're believing about God or about yourself, rather than being able to stay spiritually alert, right?
Yes.
And it's hard to do that without pointing it out, in that sometimes you just start get carried away by it. You just keep going and going until maybe you make a stop. Like, wait, I've been believing a lie this entire time.
That is so true. Yeah. Yeah. Have you guys experienced that before? No one? No, no one has. I'm sorry. Oh, that was sorry, Will.
It's just me.
That's one of the beauty of following Christ, is He does expose the lies we believed and helps us transform our minds.
Yeah.
Romans 12, right? I love how we were talking about this in Pure Desires. Pure Desire, I always want to put an S at the end, is that literally you are transforming your mind chemically by creating new neural pathways when you unlearn bad things and relearn the right thing, okay? Mm. So it's also a spiritual thing, but it's actually also a physical thing. And we could geek out that on all day long, but we won't go there for right now. Okay, so be watchful. Keep your eyes open. Don't just believe. Check me out, too. Don't just believe what I believe just because I preach it from God's Word and I tell you things that sound good and I'm trying to be accurate to God's Word. Mm. But be like the Bereans. Check me out. Go do your research. Read your Bible. Don't just take and say, like, well, Pastor Peter said. No, Pastor Peter has been wrong before, right? So, yes, you can. I hopefully am a reliable pastor and a preacher, right, and a teacher. But please check me too as well. I am not perfect, and we need to always have authority rested in Jesus Christ and God's Word. Endure hardships. It's going to be tough out there. It's going to be hard to live the life following Christ. We live in a culture that tells us we are evil because we do what is good.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. You are called a hypocrite, a bigot, because you say, no, men are men and women are women. Something a decade ago that was absolutely common sense has now been transformed into hate speech by our culture. Now, not everybody in our culture believes that, and we are speaking up against it, but you will endure hardships. We do not endure the hardships like our brother Felix over in Burkina Faso suffers, but there will be hardships. So we need to pray for ourselves and pray for those around the world. Eighth command, do the work of an evangelist. I'm going to explain why I highlighted that. And last command is fulfill your ministry. That means, hey, do what God has called you to do, not because it gets you to heaven or saved by faith alone, but because you love the Lord and you want to follow your King. And again, why does Paul say this to Timothy? Well, because there is a time coming, and we are living in it right now, where sound doctrine, truth, will not be followed. And instead, people will go to churches, they will listen to motivational speakers, they will listen to their news because it itches their ear and satisfies that craving, but it will not feed their soul. So what does God call us to do in a culture that rejects the truth? Paul says, don't retreat, don't compromise, don't be soft, stand firm, speak the truth clearly, endure faithfully. Now, this morning, what I'd like to do is actually focus on that eighth command and tell you what it actually means in the context of the Greco-Roman world around 50 AD. When we hear the term evangelist, we often think of someone in a large stadium like Billy Graham preaching the gospel to a lot of people. But do you know that the original cultural context of an evangelist is not that? If you look at the Roman world back at Jesus' times and what it looked like, the bearer who had a name sort of like an evangelist was someone who just was bringing good news. And it was often tied to a military victory or a royal announcement from the king or the emperor. So picture this. You're living in an ancient Greco-Roman city, and your country is at war with another nation. All your men, most of them, have gone to battle. And you, as a parent, you're worried, you're concerned about how has the battle been going? Will we have victory? And so every morning you go up on the wall of your city looking out into the fields, seeing if there's any news coming back about the battle. Have we won it? Have we lost it? What's happening? Every time you get up there, there is worry and concern in your heart. Have we won? Then one morning, as you're up on the wall, you see this figure running towards the city. And it's not a soldier, but a messenger, running as fast as he can. You race down the wall, tell everybody in the marketplace in your home, and everybody in the city come out to receive this messenger from the battlefield. And all of you are waiting in anticipation. He runs through the gates, huffing and puffing, can barely speak at all. But as he stands there with his lungs just heaving, he finally says, "Victory! The battle has been won. The enemy has been defeated." In the Greek world, that person who came with that news, guess what they were called? An evangelist. A bearer of good news. That's the backdrop of the gospel. The gospel is not advice. It's not a self-help program, although it can help you. It is an announcement of good news. Victory. The battle has been won. Who won it for us? Jesus. He defeated sin and death and the spiritual forces of darkness as fallen angels that led us astray and that wants nothing but evil to be done to us. Jesus has won the battle. And we'll hear this when we get to Easter. It is finished. Amen?
Amen.
That is what Paul is telling Timothy to be. You are the runner. Gosh, I'm going to cry. Coming from the battlefield into the city, into our community, saying victory has been won. Jesus has died for our sins. He has risen from the dead. You can be saved from Judgment Day. It is finished. You are a bearer of good news. Every one of us here in this building, you online, and our brothers and sisters around the world are evangelists. You are to do the work of evangelists. And that's what I want you to think of. You are a runner going into the cities of the world, our neighborhoods, and saying, it is finished. Jesus has won the battle. You can be saved. The battle is over. You don't have to fight it anymore. You don't have to fight to try to get into heaven. You don't get into heaven by doing things. There's not this cosmic scale of, I hope I did more than good, bad stuff, more good than bad stuff. No, it has been won by Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead.
Amen.
That is the image I want you to walk away with today, because it's going to tie in to our 2026 10 and 10 goals. Now, we've been going on a journey trying to figure out how to do this. And when we talk about being an evangelist, I think when we were sitting down in my office, we were saying, the struggle is real. Because I know all of you believe that to be true. I think all of us want to be evangelists, going and sharing the gospel. We hear that from many sermons. But here's the thing you struggle with. You say to yourself, yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm all pumped up. I can do it. But you know what? I feel like a failure. Why? Well, because I know I should share the gospel, but I don't. Have you guys ever felt that way? We felt that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you guys tell me about your struggle. What is it like for you? You know you're supposed to share the gospel, but sometimes you don't. So what have you been wrestling with?
I think an event that comes to my mind a lot is there was maybe in... I think it might have been 2024. We, as the youth, were supposed to be going to Lilburn City Park, and it was a Saturday. And I remember the weather was really bad. It was kind of raining, and so we're like, well, you know, if there's no kids playing in the playground, because there's no families there, then why would we go over there? Because it's gonna just be empty, and we're just gonna be in mud, and it's gonna be kind of weird. And I kid you not, I was like, yes. It's raining. No families around. Guys, what are we going to do? We just can't. And I'm feeling that. But then the weather clears up. It's not raining anymore. And I'm like, man. Oh, man. And I remember getting in my car, putting all the stuff in, picking up all the stuff from church, and getting over there. And again, the drive there, I feel this pit in my stomach of I don't want to, I'm just so scared. And I remember going there, getting in my car, going over there, getting out. Kind of the kids start pouring in, and I believe some of the adults were there too.
Yeah.
And then we just start doing our thing and start having conversations with people. And every single time, I am so glad and blessed that I got to play a small part in that. There is never a time when I'm like, yeah, I should have listened to all of my doubts. I should have listened to all of those things that I was struggling with. But it is never, and maybe that says something about myself, but it's never yippee, I'm going to get to do this. It's always I am dragging my feet, going there, afraid, honestly. And I always am faced with the decision of, am I going to please man here because I struggle with people pleasing, or am I going to please God? Yeah. And that is a very conscious choice I have to make every single time. Do I please man? Do I please God? Mm-hmm. Will it be pleasing to God for me to push through this, go up to that person created in the image of God who does not know that the battle has been won, mm-hmm. and have a conversation with them and connect with them? Or am I so afraid of awkwardness, which I am pretty afraid of awkwardness, that I will allow that to not help me connect with this person and share the good news with them? So that's a lot of times my big struggle of the walk there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, the drive there, man. Uh-huh. It's tough. But when I'm there, it's always for some reason, this is a phrase I've been saying of it's the bread and butter.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
it's the bread and butter of what we're called to do. Wow, I just met Ryan, or I just met this guy or this woman, and we had a conversation and we connected, and I shared the good news with them, and I prayed for them. And it's the sense of outside of that comfort zone of mine, pushing through the awkwardness, pushing through whatever's in there, it's in the way, and having that connection.
Yeah.
And being able to say, hey, whether I said all the right things at the exact time that they needed to hear, God was in the midst of this conversation.
Yeah. And I think we feel the same way, too, when we try to go out. Did you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you were saying about every time you feel a certain way about it.
His mic's not working?
Is it not? Oh.
Oh, there you go.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, Wilmer was saying about every time you go out, it's kind of nerve-wracking. Years ago, I helped lead street evangelism teams. So I have plenty of experience of going out up to strangers, sharing the gospel, that kind of thing. But over the years, I became more comfortable with, instead of going out somewhere, being like, hey, let's meet at a coffee shop, or hey, let's, or, you know, you get into a conversation with a neighbor or something like that. All, like, we should be doing those things. Like, those are excellent. But what I have found in my life that God seems to work maybe the most by the things that make me the most uncomfortable. and one of us is going to talk about this, but Peter and Wilmer and some others had been going over to Barkview High School to speak with the teens during their lunch hours. And so I knew they were doing this, and I was like, okay, I want to do this. But I realized I was doing it like out of guilt, and I was afraid of, like, you know, I'm going to be the pastor that didn't go, you know, or, you know, any of that, all that stuff was going through my mind, and I just couldn't come to peace with it. So I actually talked to at least Peter, I can't remember if you were there, and saying, listen, I want to go, but I'm not ready. Like, there's something in me that needs to be let go of before I can take that step. And so during the missions conference, that happened. I could tell, it was like, oh, that got resolved in my heart. And I can, if you really want to know about it, I can tell you more later. But it was, so that was last week. So then I went with Peter and Steve Cirillo this past week to talk with the teens. And let me tell you, it wasn't like, you know, I stepped in, I'm like, all right, back to normal. It was like, I'm going to let Peter start. Because part of my anxiety was with the teenagers themselves. I was like, oh gosh, how am I going to talk to them? And, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Hello, but, fellow kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. But man, it was just so cool how things started going, moving forward. And I mean, the 2 hours we were there flew by.
Yeah. So why we're talking about this to you is, we're all called to be this evangelist, like running into the city saying victory has been won. But sometimes we could run into the city and be like, I'm afraid of what people might think of me.
Yeah.
And we feel that too, just like you. And we feel that. Seriously, this last Wednesday, like Rob said, we went over there. Wilmer couldn't come that day, so I was like, oh, it's just me. Well, then maybe I won't go. And then I was like, no, I got to go. And then Rob came up and said, hey, you're still doing that? I'm like, yes. I am going to do that. So
I never wavered.
So we understand the struggle. We can feel like a failure.
Yeah.
And that's why we need each other. We need to lean on each other hard, because this is hard stuff, running into a community and saying the victory's been won. We understand that. And the thing we want you to understand is there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus here. You are not being bashed on the head for not sharing the gospel, but there should be conviction to share the gospel. Because there is no condemnation, as Romans 8:1 says, in Jesus Christ. But God does want a healthy amount of oomph, you might call it guilt, to propel you forward to share the gospel, but not to paralyze you, all right? This is us not trying to pressure you to go do it. We need to practice this together.
Yeah.
And that's what we see God doing here at Cornerstone, because we've been on a journey. There's been stuff happening that we didn't even intentionally pursue, that we see God moving back in 2025 and even earlier. There's been a journey that God's been pushing us to focus on evangelism or outreach in 2026. And Rob and Wilmer, do you mind just sharing about what that journey looked like just over the last couple of years?
So for us, at least from a youth perspective, MFuge has actually been huge for us in putting us in outreach situations. So after MFuge, which is 5 days we go away and we are just do worship, we're under teaching, we're in Bible study, and then we're put in certain mission fields that is just for the week. That's what we're doing. That's what we're focused on. So after MFuge in 2024, I remember coming back and there was a student. We had these bright green gospel shirts that you might have seen. The student told me, hey, I'm going to, when this is after we got back, hey, I'm going to go bowling with some friends, and I'm going to wear this shirt just in case an opportunity comes up for me to share the gospel with somebody. And I was like, can whatever that's happening there, can I like get that and just put it on everybody? Like that's that's like, that's when I first saw that, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then by MFuge of 2025, our students, we went to
Asheville,
yes. Yeah. And so we were in downtown Asheville. They made signs, and we were just in the heart of the city talking with tourists, with residents there that were just maybe on lunch breaks, with people that were living on the streets, with a bunch of just different, all sorts of people, just going up to them, praying for them, having conversations, sharing the gospel. And then when we got back from that, we went to Lilburn City Park, and we did the same thing there, made signs, went up to people, had a lot of different conversations. And then after that, like, we talked about, hey, what are some ideas that we might have for how we can do this better, or what different gifts people have that might be better used for when we do those things. So like, we ended that sort of time with how can we do this more, mm-hmm. and how can we put our heads together, our hearts together, to try to figure out like what might be the best way for us to do this. And then also, like Rob was saying, seeing doors open up at Parkview with NG3, with Jack Suter and I going over there and spending time with the baseball team, the outreach table, and just all these different things that have been opening up. And an image that I've had in my head is kind of like these roots that are spreading, yeah. sort of this light that's shining and covering more and more space.
Yeah, so the journey we want you to see there is God had been working in the youth and stirring them up, and they started infecting us adults in a good way. And we said, okay, God's doing something here. And then all of a sudden, these things, if you don't know, understand about high school, what we have permission to do
oh, yeah.
is to go over there from 10 to 12. We could be there longer. They literally let us have a table in the cafeteria. We don't go up to the students. They come up to us. And you might be like, they're not going to come up to you. You look like a 45-year-old man. So what's the, like, come on. Oh, no. Oh, we actually have prizes. So we entice them to come up, and we tell them, ask us a question about life, God, or the Bible, and we'll answer it for you. We just want to help you, and we usually try to steer it to the gospel. So the principal came over. I said this last week. He said to you and I, he's like, come over as many times as you want. We love what you're doing. And the vice principal said the same thing. The teachers, the coaches have all said the same thing. We had actually on Wednesday, one of the teachers came over and was like, what are you guys doing here? We're like, we're telling people about Jesus. She's like, oh, thank God. So,
she might be selfishly motivated. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So God is working here. And I don't know if you want to just give a little bit more about what God is doing with the adults too.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I just wrote down some things, and I'll things that came to my mind, because it was like, just in recent history, there's been this momentum. So like Wilmer said, you know, with Koyo, different things, opportunities there. There's been the years of faithfulness with Good News Club and with VBS. I definitely don't want to discount those. I've noticed more conversations amongst us as elders. Mm-hmm. It's been coming more apparent. Of course, ministry at Parkview, but then I've also had been observing individuals, some of which have even come to me and like are talking about, I need to do more outreach. I need to share the gospel more. So like this kind of thing building up. And then even just Felix's sermon last week, the repositioning, as he put it, and it was just like, oh, there's something happening here. And it's to me, it's really clear that the Spirit's at work. There's a momentum building, a wave, if you will. But the important thing with the wave is that you only have so much time to catch it.
Yeah.
You can't presume it's always going to be there. Uh-huh. And so with that momentum there, we really do want to take the opportunity to step into that.
Yeah.
And Wilmer, I think you're going to share more about that.
Yeah, so let me just review real quick. Yeah. We're almost done. So we see that God tells us to be evangelists. We've been walking on a journey, and some of you have been part of that, where God has been opening the doors to share the gospel and make disciples. So we said, okay, God, we want to ride that wave. And that's going to impact where we are going here in 2026, and that's what we want to share with you next. So Wilmer, why don't you share with us where we're going with goal number six?
Yeah. So goal number six, as you see up there, is to train 25 to 30 people to share the gospel. And so as we focus on that goal and think about different ideas and routes that we want to take to get there, that might look like a lot of different things. So just some of the small things we've been talking about is, hey, what might it look like for Peter, right, to preach a series on evangelism for 4 weeks? What might it look like to have someone from maybe like Stand to Reason or some other apologetics or outreach ministry come and give us training? What might it look like for us to do our own training on like, hey, how do you even talk to a stranger? Yeah. Or how do you even talk to your coworker or your friends at school? Like, how do you like do those things and connect to people that way? And we want to be able to train and equip and like prepare ourselves for that. But a big thing that this has resonated with me for so long is something that I read out of a Ray Comfort website, is that we can spend a whole lot of time talking about fish, reading books about fish, learning about how fish react to certain things. We can make conferences about fish. And
we could even research like the best fishing places.
Yes, the best fishing places. But what happens if we just go out and fish? Right? What happens if we just like, okay, all right, I think I'm ready. Let's go and do it. Right? Because we can get so stuck up in just what is the best way, most effective, efficient, science-based way of connecting with somebody? You know. But what happens if we just go out and fish? Get with a friend. Hey, let's come over here. Let's see what happens when we do this. Let's see what happens when, like, we know the gospel. We've thought about this before. Let's see what happens when two buddies get together and have God guiding them to go and talk to people.
Amen. Yeah, and we want to also, not you just do this individually too, but we want to create some opportunities for you to partner with us, for us. If you're like, I don't know how to do this, well then come and walk with us, and we'll have some opportunities like at the high school or maybe the soccer field that's down there or NG3, maybe you have it at a baseball game. Mm. God can provide opportunities. You can see how to do it, and then we'll let you do it with us standing there, and we can bail you out when you're like, I don't know what to say. And then hopefully you'll get enough confidence and courage to actually do it by yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's those things of like, are those, if we do the soccer fields, for example, are those things that we do signs or a table, or is there something else that's better? How can we get together, think through those things so that we have opportunities to plug in, like Peter was saying. The last thing that I'll say about this is something actually that Rob said that it was very convicting to me. But he mentioned that if we're not willing to reach out to Camp Creek, to Parkview, to the soccer fields over there, then maybe we should sell the building to other believers that might be willing to do that more than we are. I heard that, and that lodged itself in my head of like, because it's not like you're guilting me, but it's just a feeling of like, yeah, wow, that's real. If we really care about like the kingdom of God, and that impact, then if we're not able to willing to take that scary step, then maybe some other brothers in Christ might be able to.
And we don't want that to happen. We want to be a church.
Yeah.
We want to be a church that
this
goes.
This is when I tell you that we're done.
Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to teach. We're going to baptize. Rob, so that is goal number six, is our vision this year, our goal this year, is to get 25 to 30 of you. That doesn't let the rest of you off the hook, by the way. But we want to get 25 or 30 intentionally and purposefully going out with us, pastors and others, to share the gospel and try to figure out how to do that. Sometimes you're just going to be like, I can't do it there, but I could do it at my work. Great, we're here to support you. Yeah. Now, that's one goal. One thing we realize is, okay, we need to go fish. We need to get out there, not just read about fishing. We got to go do it. But as you're fishing, you're going to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. And they're going to need to be discipled. And so, well, how are we going to do that? One way we do that is our discipleship groups or small groups or specialized groups. But we're like, okay, there was one of these other goals in our 10 to 10 goals that is also disciple building. And Rob, why don't you tell us about goal number three?
Yeah, so on Sunday mornings, we have a unique opportunity to contribute to discipleship, right? And that's actually for several reasons. First of all, we have built-in childcare.
Yes.
Right? So if you have families, if they're able to come first thing in the morning during that Sunday school hour, then, man, they're already taken care of as far as like having their kids taken care of, and then we can pour into them. We have facility space, although that's quickly dwindling. Yeah. But that's a good problem. But we do have facility space to do this. We already have teachers. And the sheer fact that we all have in our schedules, hey, I show up on Sundays, means that there's focused opportunity right here for some of this stuff to take place, right? And so that's why we're focusing on the goal that's called the academy, right? So the idea here is, what if we utilize this and increase our intention of making mature disciples that know Christ and make others know Christ or lead others to Him? It may be a series of classes. Now, there's a lot of daydreaming going on here. So
yeah.
There may be a series of classes that over time lead people through how to follow Christ. But in a classroom-like setting, as opposed to our small groups, which will still, of course, keep going. Currently, we're thinking the time frame might be in 5 years, like a curriculum that spans 5 years. But again, that's we got to think about, have a goal, focus on something. That'll materialize as it does. Classes would ideally reach people where they are at. So whether it's a younger believer or a more mature believer, that both will be met through this time. This will include study of scriptures, will be central to it, and it will help equip people for studying the Bible alone and in community. Mm-hmm. Classes could be held on specific topics like young marrieds, for example, worldview, which is a lot of the work that the Taylors and the McClures did, finances, caring for elderly parents, sharing the gospel, of course, how to study the Bible, prayer, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, even books of the Bible and classic Christian teachings. But here's the thing. The elders believe that the key to this part happening is creating the structure and gathering those that would oversee the academy, mm-hmm. right? Because otherwise, we just end up running the same thing we're already running. So we have this sense that it's going to be something different, even if we can't articulate what that different is yet. And so we're going to pray about that. And ask you to pray as well. Now, Peter's going to share one of the things that's the next goal, but actually may end up being a part of the academy.
Yeah, so I'll be real short. This is really easy. It's that goal we didn't do in 2025. We want to make leaders, okay? So basically, real quick, like we're seeing God say, hey, go out there, be evangelists. Tell people about the victory that is in Jesus Christ. Make disciples, help them get saved, and from there, help them grow as disciples. And then we need to continue to raise up leaders in our church. Men, we're talking about elders and deacons and ministry leaders. Women, we're talking about, you serve as ministry leaders as well in specific ministries. So that kind of gives you the idea of where we're going in 2026. It's train 25 to 30 people to share the gospel in our community. The Sunday Academy that's going to help develop mature believers and raise up more leaders, which is you guys, to help us accomplish more and more of what God has called us to do. So if I was to sum up everything here, what we've been talking about, the three of us this morning, it's simply this, based off of 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Go out there, church, and we're going to help you do this. If you don't know how, we're going to help you share the victory. Let's continue to preach the word. It's not just me getting up here or other teachers. Go be a herald telling people what the King has said and how to live life. Help us raise up disciples. And oh, by the way, you repeat this over and over and over again. Mm. So that is our goals for 2026. This is what God has done in 2025 and where we are going in 2026. Now, if you're new here this morning, this is completely different from how we normally do a message. We typically do this once a year, so don't worry. Next week, we are going to go back into Psalm 21, looking at the Psalms of David. And it actually ties really nicely into this message today. Psalm 21 is a beautiful psalm about celebration and how we can also face the future with confidence. So how do we celebrate as God shows up and leads us? And how can we be confident that He will continue to be there as we go into 2026? So if you want to find out...
Ooh, can I say this part?
Yeah, you can.
Ooh. So if you want to find out, you come back next week or...
Read your Bible. Awesome, John. Let me pray. Father God, we thank You for what You're doing at Cornerstone in each person here in the building, those watching who have, and those who couldn't make it today for various reasons, whether they're sick or out of town or just couldn't make it for various reasons. Lord, we thank You that You're making disciples here. We thank You that You have been putting it in the hearts of the leaders, particularly the elders and pastors, but it's also staff and many others, that You have been pointing us to be more, we have been, but to be more intentional about being evangelists in our community, to make disciples, not just bring them into faith, but also help them mature in their faith. And not only help them mature in their faith, but be leaders, leaders in the church, and even mature leaders in our community, Lord. So help us do this great task that You have given us, this great commission from our Lord Jesus Christ. We do it so that He is glorified and so that many, many more can be welcomed into Your kingdom that will last forever and ever. We thank You for that gift of partnership, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.